Listening Dog Media.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
The Offside Rule with Lindsay Hooper and Natasha Dowie, promoting women's football since 2013.
Natasha Dowie and I are back with another episode of The Offside Rule. There will not be too many more because the season end is closing in. How are you, Tash, this week?
I am great. Yeah, I had a nice weekend. I was down in London. I was covering the West Ham Liverpool men's game. So again, a bit of a disappointing result for the boys. And then was working the women's football show on Sunday and was catching up with Jackie Oatley. So it was like a blast from the past. 8 years or 10 years, I think, since I've seen Jackie. So that was really nice. But got to watch lots of football and there were some really great games, wasn't there, over the weekend?
There were. I was at a match. I was at Bristol City versus Man City, which had permutations both ends because City win in this title race with Chelsea. I've got a feeling, Tash, it could go down to goal difference, but we'll get on to that. But Bristol City relegated. They lost 4-0. That's one of our picks. And we will talk about that WSL game and a nod as well to Everton, for a particular reason, as they played Arsenal over the weekend. We'll dip into the Championship. London City Lionesses 3, Lewis 2 is another game we're reflecting on. And in the Champions League, you've chosen Chelsea 0, Barcelona 2. We told the first part of the story in last week's show, so we have to complete that. Although I'm sure there's a lot of Chelsea fans who'd prefer not to talk about it, to be honest. let's go to WSL at the start. Bristol City 0, Man City 4. And first of all, on the performance itself, Tash, because for 62 minutes, Bristol City managed to keep this goalless. They were really good at the back. They were organised, disciplined. But eventually, Manchester City found a way. And it felt like that was always going to come.
Yeah, I actually called it when we were watching the game. And I think probably the majority of people, we've seen it before with Bristol. I actually think they had a TV game against Arsenal where it was a similar situation for 60 minutes, compact, disciplined, you know, really hard to break down, pretty much 11 players behind the ball in their own half. But then it eventually, you know, City just have too much quality and fresh legs. You know, Bristol City probably don't have the players to come on, you know, to kind of help impact the game. And you know, credit to Mary Fowler, I had to point her out. She ended up getting player of the match because I think I was intrigued to see how City coped without Bunny Shaw. And I've said it on the pod before, I don't think they have a replacement for her. And I do think potentially her being injured could cost them winning the league, because I look at their game against Arsenal and I do think that is a massive ask to go and beat Arsenal without Bunny Shaw. I think credit to the three centre forwards that did play. I think it looked a lot better when Fowler went through the middle and Hemp and Kelly were in their kind of familiar positions out wide, getting crosses into the box. I think Fowler's first goal, you know, was a bit of wonderful individual play. I think disappointing by Bristol, because to give her so much space and to no one shut her down when you know that she's, you know, got a wonder of a shot on her. So to obviously put City, you know, 1-0 up after 62 minutes, and then I thought this could be them floodworks. You know, I think to hold on for so long and then to concede a goal like that, and eventually it did. You know, Fowler's second goal was brilliant. Real poacher's goal, number nine's goal, running off the back shoulder.
It was the run, wasn't it, brilliant. That made it?
Yeah, no, back shoulder, then across the front of the centre half. And the centre half is trying to see the ball and the player, and it's so hard, that run. Brilliant ball into the box and to make it 2-0. And then Rodgers, you know, with an unfortunate own goal. And Alex Greenwood with a terrific header. You know, really powerful, got up high to make it 4-0. But I think the biggest problem for Bristol City when they look back at this season has been the amount of goals they've leaked. 58 goals in 20 games. So that averages at about 3 to 4 goals per game. It's just too much. And I think, yes, they're talking about playing at Ashton Gate again next year. So their intentions are definitely to try and get promoted straight away again. But I think when you look at Bristol compared to maybe what Liverpool have done when they've been promoted the last couple of years, for instance, you know, a Crystal Palace now, they have to look at, okay, what did Bristol do wrong? And I think it's hard because Bristol smashed the Championship, and we've spoken about that, playing that freestyling football, scoring goals. But you can't then get promoted to the WSL and think that you can perform like that at this level, that the step up's too big. So I think maybe looking back at their time this year, maybe they would have regretted maybe trying to not be a bit more defensively disciplined. They didn't win a game at home. And that's something else that I think when you do get promoted, you have to make your home ground your fortress. All their points, or their 6 points, were away from home. So again, moving forward, if they do get promoted again, I think they'll have to sharpen up defensively. But flipping back to City, brilliant performance. They found a way to win, which I think is not always easy without Bunny Shaw. And look, they're really putting up the pressure on Chelsea, because they've got, obviously Chelsea have the two games in hand, but sometimes you say you prefer to have points on the board. You know, Chelsea's massive disappointment getting knocked out of the Champions League, you know, so it's really going to go down to the last game of the season.
So on the goal difference point that I made right at the start, there is every chance that it could be final day. Now, going into this game before Man City scored 4 against Bristol City, there was 3 goals between Man City and Chelsea. Now that's 7. So those goals could be really crucial. And I wonder whether Chelsea now, because they've got Bristol City on Sunday, they've got a game against Liverpool midweek, but it's about how many goals they score as well as about getting the 3 points.
Yeah, absolutely. I know how painful that is to lose the league on goal difference. It happened, I think, before we won the league in 2013 with Liverpool. I was playing for Everton. It's 2012. And it came down to the last game of the season at Widnes in Liverpool against Arsenal. And all we had to do was to draw the game and we would have won the league. And we ended up losing 1-0 to Arsenal. And they beat us then on goal difference. And it is probably one of the biggest regrets I have in my career is, you know, how we let that slip. And it's painful. It's hard enough losing the league on 1 point, you know, like Charlton did, obviously, in the Championship. But goal difference, that's going to be really tough. So Chelsea will be hoping that Ramirez is back fit. They have to get some of their firepower fit if they're going to catch up that 7-goal difference.
For Bristol City, relegated, yes. Still games to play and a shop window for players, absolutely. I spoke to Lauren Smith after the game, and you're right, that announcement as well came later on to say that every game will be at Ashton Gate, but she was talking about the future and what these young players will have learned and how it's going to develop them going forwards. In terms of the personnel, Amelie Thestrup, she had to come off at half-time. That might have been a key moment as well in the game because there was that clash with brave goalkeeping from Ciara Keating. Mm-hmm. But Amelie Thestrup has been brilliant. Her conversion rate's been fantastic. Is she someone that a WSL club will be interested in? And another is Naomi Lazell, who I thought was fantastic and has had a great season too. Are they going to be able to keep hold of the nucleus of the squad but have to accept that a few of these players might go?
Yeah, potentially a Crystal Palace or someone might be looking at these players. And this is no disrespect to Thestrup, she's had a terrific season. And like you said, her conversion rate it's been the best I've ever seen. And I followed her for a few years now, being at Liverpool, you know, being over at PSV, at Roma. She's never scored goals throughout her career consistently. This is the first year she's done it. And she's been at the likes of West Ham. It hasn't worked out for her. At Liverpool, it didn't work out for her. So I think she's someone that, look, she's definitely worked on her game this year. I don't think a top club would potentially go in for her, but I definitely think maybe a West Ham that are struggling for goals, you know, Crystal Palace that maybe need some firepower getting promoted into the WSL. So I can't see her wanting to go and play in the Championship, especially after the season that she's had. So that will be really interesting.
How about the rest of the squad?
Yeah, look, there's some experienced players in there, isn't there? And I definitely think that the likes of your Palaces, their recruitment this summer is going to be huge. You know, so when you look through that Bristol team, you have players now that have got that WSL experience, not just this year, but in the past as well. So I definitely think Palace should be looking at that Bristol squad and trying to tap up some players. But also, I think it's a tight-knit squad at Bristol City. And I honestly would be surprised if they all just kind of jumped and left. You know, I think you look at what happened at Liverpool when they got relegated. They kept most of the squad together, you know, and thought we're going to fight hard to get promoted again next year. So it wouldn't surprise me if, you know, Lauren Smith kept that group of squads together and thought, right, one year we're going to have to be in the Championship, but we're going to learn lessons and we're going to get back again. And yeah, that wouldn't surprise me at all if they stay together.
A mention for Izzy Hobson, because she is the youngest ever goal scorer now in WSL history. She scored a very late goal against Arsenal. It was Everton 1, Arsenal 1. What a moment for her, and her face as well. I mean, the pictures as she realised what she's just done, you could just see it all over her.
Yeah, do you know what? It's great as well, because I think sometimes the way the women's game's growing, and, you know, people are used to playing in front of big crowds and used to the media attention and the growth of the Lionesses, you know, they're almost like mini celebrities. It's actually so nice to see someone that is just so young, you know, and everything's so new to her, and her interview after, a little Scouse accent, and, you know, it reminded me of like when I was playing for Everton, you know, your Tony Duggins breaking through, or your Nikita Parises, and they had just such a rawness about them and just loved, you know, being a Scouser and playing for their club. And that's, it made, put a smile on my face when I listened to the interview after the game. And what a feeling, you know, it, like I said, to score your first goal anywhere is the best feeling. But against Arsenal as well, a last minute equaliser, you know, she's obviously going to have a bright future ahead of her.
Let's move on to the Championship. So Lewis already relegated, but I've chosen this game. And of course, Crystal Palace, their 0-0 meant that they were confirmed as champions. But we knew that pretty much last week, because there wasn't going to be a 22 or 23 goal swing. But London City Lionesses were the opposition for Lewis here. And it was the standout game in terms of result, because it was 3-2 to London City Lionesses. So 5 goals for a neutral to enjoy. And then I look at all the goal scorers, and I was looking back at the highlights from this game. Lewis started well, by the way. They got the first goal in this, and they you could tell they want to go out with a bang, and they want to, you can see that rebuild already beginning for them for next season. But I look at the names in the London City Lionesses squad, and they all have been in the WSL, been established players. McCandy, who used to be Emma Mitchell, of course, Carter, Dan Carter, and Boy Halorka, who used to be at Liverpool, right? So you've got so many players that have got WSL experience. Should we not this season have been seeing London City Lionesses challenging Palace and Charlton and Southampton more than they did? That's what I was left with after this.
Absolutely. Well, even like Georgia Broham, you know, who's played obviously at Everton and City.
Yeah.
Megan Campbell. You know, there's loads. I think a big problem with what they've had this season is probably the change of managers. I don't think that helped. I actually think when Mel Phillips was there, you know, they were doing such a great job. They were the kind of team pushing, you know, for promotion. They were really up there. And then when she left to go to America and the Italian player Caroline Maracci came in, the manager, I think that didn't go down well. She didn't last very long. And I think that always disturbs things and disrupts things when a manager leaves. And I think that definitely has had an effect. Remy Allen then has now come in, an ex-player, you know, loads of WSL experience, has been involved with England at the youth levels. And she's done great, hasn't she? You know, to come in and get, I think it was 12 points out of 18 was her target, and she's reached that. So I'm actually really excited to see next year what they can produce. I think this year was definitely an up and down year. Like I said, 2 or 3 different managers, change of probably tactics, change of style. You know, different players coming in at different times as well in the January transfer window. So I think if they can keep this group of players together, you know, that most of those players we mentioned are towards their like late 20s into their 30s. So, you know, I think it's important as well, you know, to bring some youth in as well as experience. But Remy Allen, for me, I think she really is someone that can push the London City Lionesses on next season and have them competing at the top end of the table.
I would have thought, looking at the Championship, that other teams would be taking that approach and seeing players that got that WSL experience maybe going towards the twilight, so maybe towards retirement, but have still got a lot to offer, being snapped up. But that hasn't really happened in other teams. Like, you look through, and yes, you know, when Reading went down, they held on to some of their good players, and I'm sure Bristol City will do the same, but they haven't really scouted in that way in the Championship to pick out players that maybe are just dipping out of WSL, whereas London City Lionesses have. Is that purely a budget thing in your mind, Tash? Like, is that why they're all at London City Lionesses pretty much?
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, I don't kind of know financially what kind of money or support they have at London City Lionesses, but I also can't see those players with that much experience not going there if the package isn't appealing also. So I think, yeah, that must be the case. And I know, having been at Reading, that was an issue. You know, they had to let so many players go because of the financial side of things and how much they struggled, you know, and it's really then kind of the younger players and generation that stayed. They need to use that to their advantage, because look, I'm not saying money talks, but it definitely helps in the women's game now. And if you want to get the best players, you need to have an attractive package, whether that's where you're living, you know, financially, what, you know, all these things that come with a footballer's contract. And we've touched on it in past pods as well. You know, that's when you're going to get your big players, and they'll definitely be wanting, with those players, then players will be wanting to play in the WSL. They won't be wanting to play in the Championship.
No, and we already know the fate of Lewis. They have been relegated. Worth mentioning that on that final day, London City Lionesses ended up finishing 8th, 25 points, and a goal difference of minus 10. So, yeah, Remy Allen's in there, but I think a lot of work to do, and I would expect them to be kicking on next season. Our final game is from the Champions League, Chelsea 0, Barcelona 2, the second leg of the semi-final. And it feels like a huge opportunity missed for Chelsea, Tash. I mean, there were opportunities in this game. We're obviously going to talk about the second yellow card and the sending off, and I'll let you give me your thoughts on that. But even without getting on to that, there were opportunities for Chelsea to make it 2, maybe even 3. And I think that's the sort of scoreline you need against a team like Barcelona. So how did you reflect on it when you have that benefit of a bit of time to be able to think about it?
Yeah, I think it was Chelsea's best opportunity to progress. I think you have to give them a lot of credit. I was surprised with how well they did. I actually truthfully thought Barcelona would come and get the result, but Chelsea really were making a game of it, you know, and actually having, you know, large spells of possession, you know, with, you know, some of their key players, you know, Sam Kerr, Millie Bright, Ramirez, you know, they only had really one number nine available out of their four that they have. So They were really struggling on that front as well. But credit to them. And you're spot on. Before we even go into the sending off the penalty, the chances they had, you know, you go back to, I think it's the Lupulse one in particular. Yes. That just, to me, is you have to finish that. It's an open goal, you know, and that really could change the whole dynamic of the situation. I think as well, Nusken had a really good opportunity. So it's sport, it's cruel. I think that was the one time, if you're going to beat Barcelona, you have to beat them, because I actually don't think they were firing on all cylinders. I don't think that's the best Barcelona performance over two legs that we've seen, but they always find a way. And if you look at the history of this Champions League, you know, over the last, I think, 7 years, it's been Lyon or Barcelona. So that's just, I think when it really comes to it, these semi-finals, the finals, that's probably what these teams have over Chelsea, that edge of being used to these kind of games, these experiences, and just knowing how to win.
Well, yeah, the know-how. And it's really strange how that comes into effect in games sometimes, that know-how. You've been there before. And I don't know, would you call it like a muscle memory? You just work out how to get over the line. You know, afterwards, Emma Hayes said about the sending off with Keisha Buchanan, she said it was the worst decision in UEFA women's history. And I felt that I know what she was trying to get at. And I think it was probably the worst decision that Chelsea have ever had. But I mean, we've known some pretty out there decisions over the course of history, especially in the women's game. But I understand the point she was trying to make. And certainly from a Chelsea point of view, that is the biggest decision they've ever had go against them as a club, surely.
Yeah, I think the referee, Demetrescu, the Romanian, had a poor night. And I think that that has to be looked at, the kind of standard and the experience of referees that are chosen for these big occasions. You know, this is one of, if not one of the biggest games in women's football, obviously the final being the biggest. But, you know, these players, you know, you sometimes only get one opportunity to achieve this. You know, and Champions League is the trophy you want to win. So I think, I personally think both decisions were wrong. I do think sometimes with Buchanan, which maybe is something that she has to work on in her game, is she can be a bit of a reliability sometimes with regards to, you know, a bit rash, a bit with her tackling. I think if you're on a yellow card, don't give the referee any type of chance or excuse. But I do think she won the ball cleanly. So I think that was definitely wrong. I think the penalty was a little bit more 50-50. I think it was harsh. I actually think Bonmatí was quite clever with the way that she actually hung her leg. And almost then, you know, kind of played for it, if I'm being completely honest. People are saying Carter gave her a little shove that then pushed her, you know, into the, I think, was it Carter and Lawrence? Yeah, Ashley Lawrence, that actually got in between. But I think that was clever. And I actually think that Bonmatí, I've never seen this side of her before. She was so fired up after the first round with the way that Chelsea had apparently time wasted, were, you know, she didn't like the way that they played the game with their aggression. And she actually openly in interviews said that if that's the way they want to play, then we'll bring that come the second leg. And actually, it's the first time that I've seen Barcelona with a little bit of a nasty side to them. Normally, they don't have to bring that because they just outplay teams and they don't ever need to show that other side. But she was a woman on a mission where she was like, do you know what? I'm coming away and we are reaching this final. And I think, she was one of the standout players. I mean, she always is. Came up with a big goal. And obviously, Rolfo very calm and composed with the penalty. But yeah, I think looking back, the Chelsea players will be so, so disappointed because Barcelona were there for the taking.
Mm. And did you look at this semi-final as this is where the winner will come from? Like, is that how big the opportunity is that's been missed, that they potentially could have gone on and beaten Lyon as well?
Yeah, absolutely. I think Lyon, similar to Barcelona, haven't always been firing. You know, I think they've shown great character in their two legs over PSG to come back and obviously get those three late goals. Brilliant. And I think they're finding form at the right time. But this is Lyon. And again, similar to Barcelona, even if they're not maybe hitting form, you know, all around the pitch, when it comes to the final, they're a different animal. They're a different breed. So I think this is going to be probably the most open final between these two teams. It's going to be literally, you know, obviously who wants it more on the day. And I think it's obviously going to be a cracking final. Both teams have such great players. But it's just a shame that an English team again falls short. And, you know, when will be the next time an English team wins? What was it? 2006 was the last time. So I think that's something that has to change sooner rather than later.
We will continue that chat in the mailbag on Friday. So for anybody listening, if you want to hear more about Champions League, what we think of the future for English clubs, we will address that because we've had some questions in from listeners this week. So we'll save those for then. A reminder as well that wherever you get your podcasts, keep an eye on the feed as well, because we're going to move on to an interview next with Annabelle Blanchard after Crystal Palace got promoted to the WSL. You'll get that in full later on wherever you get your feeds. It will drop down in full. But we'll give you a taster of that chat now. Just before we go to that, I wanted to get your reaction to Crystal Palace being promoted. Nobody really mentioned it, did they? The beginning of the season, midway through the season. Has it taken you by surprise?
Yes and no. I've always heard that Palace have been supported well and they've got some good players. But yeah, you're spot on. I think I look to the likes of your Birmingham's with the kind of players that they have there, and Charlton kind of, I think, were top of the table for so many months. But I think credit to Palace, they were always there or thereabouts, but then they really hit form. And, you know, business end of the season just came into their own. And I think the goals as well, you know, obviously Elise Hughes was a huge part of that and sadly did her ACL. So they'll be desperate to get her back fit and firing for next season. Everton. But yeah, no, absolutely credit to them. They ran the race the right way, you know, slow and steady. And then the last 100 metres, you know, they absolutely smashed it. So credit to them.
They kept lodging, didn't they? Win after win after win in that business end of the campaign when other teams around them were slipping up. So huge congratulations to everyone involved at Crystal Palace. And we have got that interview with Annabel Blanchard, one of the winning players, coming up next.
The Offside Rule with Lindsay Hooper and Natasha Dowie.
Annabel, congratulations on promotion to WSL. Those scenes at Crystal Palace were fantastic. The trophy lift. And you already knew it was happening, didn't you? You knew there weren't going to be 22 goals or something in the other game. So has this been a week-long celebration?
To be honest, no. Obviously, you know, the situation last Sunday, we kind of knew where we stood and everything. But to be honest, when we went back into football last week, training, we just had sole focus on the game and we just wanted to get the job over the line. And the only thing we really spoke about all week was the game. We didn't really speak about the position we were in or anything like that. And I think it's also a reflection of how we've been the whole season. We have just taken it week by week and we've never ever really got too ahead of ourselves. Obviously, it was a great position to be in and it did mean we could go and enjoy the day and play with probably a little bit more freedom than we have done the past few weeks. But no, to be honest, the main focus was just the game against Sunderland.
Annabel, just before we start carrying on talking, so you came through the Liverpool Academy. Did we just miss each other or did we actually play together? Because when I looked you up and had a Google, I thought you were in a squad maybe in the Champions League when we went abroad. Did we ever play together?
I don't think so. I do remember you, definitely.
Yeah, because I messaged Gemma Bonner and I was like, did I play with this girl? And she said, I think you might have just left. So
Yeah, I think it was just, we just missed. I remember Gemma, obviously, but no, I think we just missed each other.
Oh, okay, brilliant. But I mean, so obviously, you know, great season for yourself, still so young, you know, and I think your stats are so impressive as well for a midfield player. So obviously we spoke earlier, 18 games and 11 goals, 7 assists. If I've got that right, that's pretty impressive. We know, and obviously you will find out, you know, the step up, and we've spoken about this, you know, is tough. You know, we look at Bristol and how they've struggled. You know, you look at Liverpool and how they've done it the right way, I feel. Mm-hmm. You know, as a player yourself, like, what are your aspirations, you know, going up into the WSL? You know, what's your kind of, do you set yourself kind of short-term targets, long-term targets?
I think, to be honest, you know, it's where I've always wanted to play. I've always wanted to play in the WSL, you know. In terms of my own aspirations, they're, like, very, very high. I've got very high standards of myself. In terms of the team going up into the WSL, obviously it's not really something we've spoken about yet. It only really happened about 2 days ago. But, you know, I've got full belief that the club will do things right. You know, the way the board have been this year, backing us, Steve, Dougie, Grace has ran everything immaculate, really, and I do believe that the club is going to go up and do things right, and I think that, you know, there's big things to come for Crystal Palace, and I think it's definitely where the club deserves to be.
Thank you very much to Annabel Blanchard at Crystal Palace for joining us to talk about promotion and what she thinks for next season. You can listen to the interview in full. There is more of it. It will drop down your feed. Wherever you get this podcast, it will drop down tomorrow and later on in the week. And we'll also be talking about their prospects in the mailbag on Friday, because lots of people sending in questions already, Tash, saying, how do we think Crystal Palace will do? We'll answer those on Friday. Also, a reminder that you can follow us on social media, and we'll put clips up from that interview as well at Offside Rule Pod on TikTok, Instagram and X as well.
And to round off this week's episode, Tash, it's the usual scag from you. Have you been far and wide this week?
Do you know what? Not as far and wide. You know, I'm actually coming a little bit more to home. I'm going with a centre half again. I know these keepers are tough to find. I was really doing a lot to try and find a keeper for you, but I thought I'd go a bit more defensive again, Linz, because you always say I'm picking my strikers. So I'm going for Hannah Silcock. You might have heard of her. She's actually based with Liverpool, but she's been on loan at Blackburn this season, and she's had a terrific season for them. She actually scored this weekend in their 3-1 win away to Sheffield United. But she's only 19 years old, centre-half, aka they call her Verge. So I think that kind of
Virg, yeah, like Virgil van Dijk.
Yes, exactly. Okay. Yeah, really good ball player, tall, athletic, you know, can work off both feet. Matt Beard thinks a lot of her. And I think she's got valuable playing time this season. So what I'm really excited to see is what happens to her next season. Does he bring her back into the squad? You know, there's the likes of Nifahi that potentially may be retiring. Who knows? So that leaves obviously a space for a centre-half to come in. So I'm really excited to see Hannah's future. I really do think that she could be the next England international centre-half. She's already involved with the under-23s. So, yeah, watch this space with her.
Hannah Silcock, Liverpool, will keep our eyes peeled. And if anything is to be based on what's happened with recent loan moves, I'm thinking Aggie Beaver-Jones. She was at Everton, brought back to Chelsea. Look at what's been going on. I would be surprised if Liverpool do let her go out again. I think we could be seeing her as part of that matchday squad, which is exciting, right?
Yes, it really is.
We'll leave this week's show there, Tash, but thank you for sticking to a defender. I'll give you free rein to go up front again.
Yeah, I'm definitely finishing that front.
Yeah, that for the rest of the week now, to the end of the season, we'll have attackers. But we had a good run whilst it was there. Just before we go, a reminder that wherever you get this show, keep an eye on the feed because the full interview with Annabelle Blanchard after Crystal Palace were promoted to WSL will be dropping down the feed later on this week. We'll also have the mailbag on Friday, so make sure you stay tuned for that. We'll be answering more of your questions. But until then, goodbye for now.
The Offside Rule. This is a Listening Dog Media production.
Podcast Network.